Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Treese?
Aye. Present.
Mr. Ruffin?
Here.
Mr. Trapp?
Here.
Mr. Scala?
Here.
Mr. Thomas?
Here.
Mr. Pitzer?
Here.
Ms. Peters?
Here.
I want to thank everyone for their patience, especially members of the media. I know that we have not been responsive yet. I wanted to give this council the chance to meet in open session. Before we can do that, I want to go into closed session for just a little bit to give this council a chance to consider the city manager's letter of resignation and also to interview the acting city manager before the appointment to interim city manager. So what I'd like to do is go into closed session. We'll come back out. We'll do the agenda items. And once we adjourn, my expectation is we'll all come down as a city council to that podium and answer whatever questions you may have, knowing that this is still a personnel issue. There may be issues that are still privileged or protected or confidential that we may not be able to respond to, but I want to be as transparent with our answers as we can. So that being said, I would move for the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri to immediately go into closed session, Conference Room 1B, to discuss the hiring, firing, disciplining, or promoting of particular employees by a public governmental body when personal information about the employees discussed or recorded as authorized by Section 610.021, Subsection 3 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employment as authorized by Section 610.021, subsection 13 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll on the motion to go into closed session?
Oh, second.
Seconded by Mr. Trapp.
Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Seeing that we're going to go in closed session, feel free to stay in here. We'll be in the side room and then we'll be right back. that we adjourn the closed meeting. Seconded by Mr. Scala. Without all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Seeing none, we are back in open session. We have a couple items of new business. First is Resolution 188-18. Madam Clerk.
Council Bill 188-18 is a resolution authorizing a mutual severance agreement with Michael Mathis.
So just in terms of a staff report, this mutual severance agreement is part and parcel of the 2011 employment agreement between the City of Columbia and the city manager. All of the terms of the severance agreement are consistent with and identical to the terms that the previous council in 2011 executed with the city manager. Anything you want to add?
That agreement was amended in 2012 and 2015 as well. So the original employment agreement provided for a 6-month severance, and the second agreement, or the First Amendment in 2012, extended that to a 1 year. Or was that 2015?
Are there
2015. To 2015, yeah. Extended it. Okay.
Are there any questions on the severance agreement? Would anyone from the public like to be heard on Resolution 188-18? Seeing none, any further council discussion? Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please, on Resolution 188-18?
Council Bill 188-18, Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
And next order of business would be Resolution 189-18. Madam Clerk.
Council Bill 189-18 is a resolution appointing an interim city manager.
So per the acting city manager policy of the City of Columbia, once there was a vacancy in the city manager's office, John Glasscock, as the deputy city manager with the most seniority, became acting city manager effective Wednesday. Council has had a chance to meet with him and consider his appointment to interim city manager. Is there any further council discussion? Seeing none. Is there anyone from the public that would like to be heard on the appointment of an interim city manager? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Council Bill 189-18, Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Is there other business? We do not have public comment posted, but we do have other business the council may wish to discuss. Is there any council member that has any item, any other order of business? Mr. Pitzer.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss just a little bit on our process for going forward with the search for a new city manager. And, you know, I think it behooves us all to start moving as expeditiously as we can and move with some urgency, although making sure that we are conduct a thorough and comprehensive process. So I think one of the first questions we'll have to discuss is whether we need the assistance of any outside parties, some type of search firm, which I believe was used last time. So it'd be great if we could get some information on, or if there are recommendations from staff on, you know, from human resources, whether, you know, you would recommend that or not, and then, you know, some options to go forward there. I would personally love to be able to have some clear direction by the end of the year. So that means we've got something either posted in terms of an application process, or we've hired somebody and they're able to go out the door with that search prior to the year or at the first of the year. If we look at our schedule over the next several weeks, we've got a meeting, regularly scheduled meeting next Monday. Is there currently anything on the work session agenda for that meeting?
I haven't checked. I think there is
not that I'm aware of, but
isn't? Okay.
At least there wasn't when I looked this morning, but that doesn't mean anything.
And Ms. Buckler's here if you'd like to ask her any questions.
Okay, yeah, that might be great. So we could use that opportunity to discuss some you know, important qualifications that we all want. I think there's certain nuts and bolts to the job description that you know are fairly standard, but then there's certain, you know, strategic aspects I think we would want to have to discuss and be able to go out the door on. And well, Ms. Buckler, I guess.
Great.
So what I'm giving to you is a kind of a synopsis of all of the steps that are involved in this process. In 2005 and in 2010-11, we did use executive search firms to help with the selection process for the city manager position. So I've just basically given you an outline of all of the steps that need to happen in order to get to the point where you have a new employee. But the first thing really you need to talk about is how you're going to do that. Regardless of if you use a search firm, I believe, Nancy, correct me if I'm wrong, it would need to be let as an RFP in order to make that award. So that's a 30-day posting for an RFP, and then you would have a selection process that council would conduct in order to select the firm that you wish to use. Then in the process 2010-2011, I think from the point we had an agreement signed with the consultant, we had a 90-day time frame in which we conducted the whole search with the consultant's recruitment. So there's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot to do regardless of how you do it. So I tried to give you something that you could look at. So really, if you're going to use a firm, that's something you need to decide. I do have the scope of work that's been used in both of those processes. I have the RFP that was used last time available. If you want me to send that through Sheila or through John to you. I've got everything pretty much that we used in the last two processes. If they've got any questions about how the firm conducted things, or you know, your alternative is for you to have things go through the regular application process. No matter how you do it, you all are going to have to come up with a profile of what you want and the kind of city manager that you're looking at. So in the last processes, we've had council persons have interviews with the consultant about what they're each individually looking for. We've engaged, we've asked department heads that information. We've asked for employee input on that information. We've invited civic partners like the school district, the county, some of the major businesses in town to come and give individual input and the characteristics they're looking at, to the point where we've had open forums where citizens can come and give information, or a form that they can provide that information online. There's a lot of process involved, and that would all go into building your profile and what you're looking for. And that's really your first step, regardless. Once you figure out which way you're going to do it, that'll be your first step in figuring out the profile of the person that you want to come do this job.
Do you know how much those previous searches cost?
The last one was a $20,000 fee, and then a not to exceed $6,000 expense. So, you know, 26, and I looked at 2005, it was right around $24,000.
What's your professional opinion on, in terms of the quality of candidates we'd receive, you know, versus with going with that route versus doing it on our own?
Well, there are pros and cons to either way, but I would tell you that the executive search firms have their pool of people. And they have access to people who are actively looking. And then they also have lots of contacts where they will go and do a lot more networking. So they have a stable, generally, of people that they know are looking for that kind of job. And they'll go out and recruit people based on what your profile says, too. If they know somebody that they, or some bodies that they think might fit that profile well, they'll go do that. So are they better candidates? I don't know the answer to that. You know, our regular recruiting process would be using all the professional organizations that city management organizations that are out there and wherever else you would want to go look or advertise. But I don't know if it's a better pool. It's probably they may be the same in the end, but, you know, there are other resources that they have that we really don't have right now at the city is to do a much more thorough vetting on background. We can do it, and we have a contractor that could go farther than we do on a normal basis, but they have some resources that we don't. They also do the negotiations on the contract, the employment agreements, and do some things like that. But I really think it's up to you which way you want to go.
And if we did post, you know, the RFP for 30 days, could we use that time amongst ourselves to develop the profile?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, okay.
Absolutely.
Are you done? Could you expedite that 30-day RFP by condensing it to a two-week request for qualification and ask that search firm to present, or multiple search firms to present to us at our second meeting in December?
The answer is yes. We could.
How much lead do you need on that?
I can alert that we would like to do that, and then you can tell me to proceed or not. Would you all like to see the scope before I can email that through John or Sheila today?
Look, it's important to me that you have not just the city council members' input of what the next city manager should look like, but that we have authentic civic engagement and what our community wants that city manager to look
right.
like and the values he or she has. So I think the sooner we get that process started, the sooner we can have that civic engagement process. Would you like to have a 30-day RFP window, or would you rather try to back that up? And I'm asking all of council and try to have some choice to look at, if that's the path you want to go on at that second meeting in December. So that I think January is a good time to, people are looking for change, looking to move.
Right. So if we had the search firm candidates in that second meeting, we would still need to approve any contract the first meeting in January, probably. Right. So that would be, if we could do that, you know, and then they'd be off and running at that point, and then we would have December to work on this profile and have that civic engagement.
Ms. Peters.
I'm probably just need to have somebody give me the actual dates, because I don't want to rush it. I mean, I'd like to move forward aggressively, but if we want citizen input, we're talking the holiday season. We need to get a move on for that, and I don't want to rush through the process too quickly. At the same time, I don't want to drag my feet forever. So I'm sort of at a loss. You know, I don't know whether we need a two-hour pre-council meeting December 3rd. Is that right? Or, you know, I'm not quite sure how to go forward with this, I guess. I want to be efficient but not too efficient.
Let me recognize Mr. Scanlon, then I'll have another question. Carl?
Yeah, I agree with you, Betsy. I think it's essential that we get the public input. Now, we are representatives of the public, after all, mm-hmm. among other things. I also wanted to ask the question, I'd like to expedite this as much as possible, but not give short shrift to our process. I'd like to ask the question, can we do both? I mean, can we proceed in some sort of a reasonably expedited process with a professional firm that we have a history with, and also look for opportunities from HR, that is, to take a look at this simultaneously. We may be able to get a sample from all of those talent pools. Maybe it will be the same folks that we wind up with, but is that a possibility? Or is that not a possibility?
Well, I think it would be difficult to retain a firm and then have me doing, or HR doing something at the same time.
So there's a contract that stipulates that they have some exclusive.
Well, I don't know if it would say that, but if they were out recruiting and I was out, HR was out recruiting, there might be great confusion out there in the community of people that are looking too. I think it would need to be one way or the other.
So you have to make a decision. All right.
But we can put a generic RFP out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we could bring them back to you.
I mean, we could do that right away.
As opposed to a request for qualification?
Either one.
Well, either
we could
one.
Do either one.
Either one. We could get one out tomorrow.
Does an RFQ require a 30-day process?
It, Columbia has a little bit of it. I'm just going to jump in.
I'm going to let
there's
the
a lot of
there's talk.
A lot of we use RFQ for RF quote, and we use RFP to be synonymous with a request for qualifications or proposals to perform a particular type of work. So it's a little bit different than what it's done on the statewide level. So it's probably a terminology confusion that we have going on. So RFP, RFQ, what we want to do is understand what it is you're looking for. And if it's a request for qualifications, that really comes in the form of a request for proposals.
And we have a very generic scope of work that's already spelled out.
Comments, questions? What, Dr. Pierce?
Back again. Then the request for proposal, is that a request for an executive search company?
Right.
That's the request for proposal we're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
I will email you with the scope of services, but it's basically to help with the profile, to talk about compensation, to do the recruitment, to do the screening, and come back with a narrower pool of candidates. In the last couple of processes, they've done one report with 10 or 12. Which then is brought to you for review, and then you narrow it down to a smaller group that you want to come here. So they do the preliminary reference checks. The candidate would do that. They do the interview process. They help with all of that. They come here and assist you with that process. They do all of the background investigations, and then they do the report recommendations to you. They do negotiation and follow up on salary, start dates, all of that, so that then all you have to worry about is the actual adoption of the agreement and how you announce it.
And if memory serves me correctly, in both of those previous cases, it was the same firm. Is that right?
No, it was
it
not.
Wasn't
it was not.
Oh, I thought
not.
I saw that. So.
It was Affion Public in 2010, 2011, and I would have to go look, but it was the Parr Group.
Okay.
In 2005, I do remember. Carl Nolenberger.
Mr. Trapp.
I think the question that we have to answer amongst ourselves is, do we want to review the scope of work, or are we comfortable going with what we used last time to move forward the process? It sounds like we're going to have the 30-day RFP process to deal with. So do we want to take on from Ms. Buckler's description of the scope of work and put out that RFP immediately to start that process, or do we want to look at the scope of work at the work session?
Well, I'd just like to clarify the 30-day, 15-day. Are you saying, Nancy, that whatever we call it, we cannot put out the RFP, or we cannot award the RFP until 30 days?
No. So the 30 days is just a suggested time frame. It can actually be less than that for submission. We don't have anything in our city code that requires a waiting time of 30 days. So if you put something, authorize human resources to put an RFP out on the street tomorrow, with a scope of services, then with a suggested scope of services, then that could come back. There could be a return date on that for proposals to be submitted prior to your second meeting in December, which means you could go through those and take a look at those and either narrow them for interviews or select, depending upon what the circumstances are, what you get back. And at that point in time, then we would put a contract or put interviews on for the first meeting in January, or select a time to do that. Now, I will also tell you that the scope of services with the consultant could be negotiated. So RFPs are very flexible. The suggested scope of services that Mrs. Buckler's put out there is just that. The proposal itself that comes back from the consultant will address those items, their capability of doing those items, and anything else that they would perform for the city as far as services are concerned. And then at that point in time, you can negotiate additional scope of services, add to, subtract. There's a great deal of flexibility with an RFP.
So from my point of view, I think I'd like to have a look at the scope of services that exists, but I don't think you know, I don't think we need to spend a long time debating that. Obviously, the advertisement for the city manager will be something that we want to spend a lot of time thinking about, as well as getting community input.
Mr. Ruffin.
I just had a question regarding the scope of services, whether or not in the past selected company facilitate the public engagement process.
They did.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And would the use of a executive search firm create any barriers to transparency other than the normal expectation of privacy for candidates that may be applying? And
right, generally you don't announce who you're looking at till they're coming here for that interview process. In both of the last two processes, the firms have been absolutely willing to do all kinds of things with the public in order to get input. They understand Columbia as a general rule, and when you talk to them or work on selecting a firm, that's something that you all would want to make really clear, that you have that expectation. So I would say it doesn't. They have helped us a lot in the past with public process and suggested things to do.
In some ways, we've come a long way with the strategic plan and issues of equity and so on and so forth. Has that ever been part? Was that a part of the last search in terms of the scope of services? Does that matter? I mean, is that
we did not have a citywide strategic
I think it was 2015
plan the last time we did that. No, but it could certainly be part.
I mean, that
of the
certainly
profile.
Is essential. I think to in a centerpiece for what. You know, what this group has been doing for some period of time, along with
right.
the rest of the city.
That would be something that you all could direct is really important to the whole profile.
What I'm hearing is, Mr. Pitzer.
So I'm more comfortable with, you know, using the prior scope of services, because I think that's fairly, you know, standard. And, you know, I would like to see that, you know, be posted as soon as possible, and my timeline would be to have the interviews prior to the end of the year, and if we need to schedule a special work session or a special meeting to do that, I think we should, and to be able to approve that search firm at the first meeting in January.
So make the decision before the end of the year.
On the search firm.
For those that would like to have more time to look at the scope of services, Ms. Peters or Mr. Thomas, is there any objection to you emailing your comments to me and the HR director in
24 hours?
Yeah. I mean, just
I'll send it out as soon as I go back to the office.
I think it's completely fair. You guys look at the scope of services.
Yeah.
My sense is it will probably reflect the broad brush strokes of what we want that firm to look like, and any specific questions you can have with those potential firms as part of their final scope and contract.
I will send you just the generic sheet. I will send you the actual RFP, and if you would like, I can send you the responsive RFP that was awarded last time so you can see what we got back.
Okay.
If that would be helpful.
So here we have a goal to release an RFP or an RFQ on Wednesday, with the thought being at the December 17th work session, we have two or three firms to interview or to look at, either on paper or in person.
Will we have to have a meeting to narrow that down to two or three?
You should.
Or a work session?
Okay. You can have it out by Wednesday?
I didn't hear what you said.
Can you have it out by Wednesday?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
What's the minimum it should be posted? Would you recommend 2 weeks? Or
I think 2 weeks would be okay. And I won't get yelled at.
And how many proposals do you expect we would receive?
Last time we received 8 or 9, and I have a long list of firms that do this work. So we will also notify them that it's there. Purchasing will do that.
I have a suggestion, Mr. Pitzer, on closing date and when we could review
those. Well,
if
it's posted for 2 weeks, I mean, I think that is December 12th. We could narrow it to 3.
December 3? Or, I'm sorry.
No, if she posts it Wednesday, 2 weeks from there is December 12th.
Got it.
We could use the December 17th to narrow it.
Then we need could a special they, meeting.
A special meeting later at the end of that week? Is
we
that
could.
Too?
We can do this work session.
They could. Anybody that responds could be. We could actually put it in the RFP that, that we expect to interview possible firms on X date, even. Or the week of.
I would suggest that, just so that they're on notice for a December 17th video interview or in-person interview or phone call.
The week
of the 17th, it would probably be later that
week. The week of the 17th? I'll just tell them the week of December 17th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the 17th pre-council is full, so with union items and
it's only
and
half
Human
an
Services
hour.
Commission.
We can figure it out, but I will tell them that we expect to do in-person interviews the week of December 17th.
Okay.
That can be out there. They'll know it ahead of time.
Okay. Everyone comfortable with that?
Yeah, I just want to respond to what John just said. The pre-council already has an agenda, as he said, Human Services Commission and one of the labor unions. Would we discuss the applications for this search firm position during a pre-council or during a regular council?
It would be like any other contract. It would be done, but we are the purchaser at this point. I would assume it'd be a closed meeting at a special meeting.
You would probably want to interview him, Mr. Thomas.
Well, I think we're talking about narrowing it down.
Yeah,
we. I think we want to review them between the 12th and the 17th and then have a discussion and narrow it down to two or three to actually interview later that week on the 17th. Is it possible to reschedule some of those pre-council agenda items?
The union said, I know. I'd have to talk to the
actually,
others, I think.
We might be able to get them to...
Pardon?
To move it off. We might get them to be able, ask them politely to move it off.
We'll talk to them.
Could we perhaps start the meeting, I hate to say this, at 4 instead of at
and
5?
That's that was the next thing I was going to suggest, is have a longer
pre-council. Take the
4
to 5 for the RFP and then not leave our unions where they are. Anyway.
Well, depending on how this all shakes out, I mean, if people move, that's fine too. But I mean, we could schedule another meeting in advance. I mean, that is an option. And, I mean, this is important enough that we ought to let. I'm a little reluctant to have any more closed meetings. I mean, these really need to be open meetings so that folks can register their understand what's going on and register their comments and so on. So
we can do it either way.
I prefer to do it in open.
Yeah, I do too.
Any objection? Okay. Good?
Yeah.
You set on next steps?
I am.
Okay.
So we'll see if they'll move first.
Yeah.
If not, then we'll try to schedule something at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy to scheduling something at 4 o'clock on that 17th.
As opposed to moving the unions.
Yeah.
I would be the same.
And we should also look for later that week to schedule the interviews.
Because we need a second meeting to do
that
the
week.
Interviews.
Meeting.
Yeah. Right.
And I will mention, I will not be able to do the Friday of that week, so it would probably have to be the Thursday.
Mayor?
We obviously need to leave a little bit of time between making our decision on the 17th and having two or three either visit or come on by video conference on the later that week.
Mayor, if we could and we have very strong consensus, obviously, but if we could just have a motion for staff and a vote to proceed with issuance of an RFP for search firm services, that would be helpful to staff.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Ms. Peters. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 All those contrary opinion, no. Seeing none, the ayes have it. Any other business the council would wish to discuss? I think having a transition at the city manager's office is an appropriate time to also revisit the discussion of a citywide audit. I think it is a good management practice to have a clear line of delineation between the previous administration and the next administration. And if there are findings in that audit that need to be addressed, the new city manager can use that as a roadmap to move forward. I really think before we can take the next step forward, that we need to look at some of our historic practices on investment policy and land purchases and banking contracts, and that full state audit is worth the investment, both to restore trust in our community, but also to give this council and the next city manager the path that they need to go forward. I still think a state audit is the best, most independent mechanism to make sure that that happens, independent of the outcome of the April elections. But I will be asking you to consider or reconsider supporting that at our first meeting in December. I also know that the acting city manager had interviews for an internal auditor today. And I think that internal auditor is also plays an important role here. And I know Mr. Pitzer has inquired about ways to strengthen the independence of that internal auditor to make sure that that person is more responsive to council. You know, there are little things like a whistleblower hotline that that city employees may now feel more comfortable initiating, that we give them the opportunity to give us their input as we continue to move forward as a city.
Just along those lines, just to address that issue, I guess I've been on the record for suggesting that there be some sort of compromise measure when it comes to certainly a state auditor audit of the entire financial the budget and the system that we have. I think for many years we've been in good stead. I'd hate to repudiate lots of good work from lots of the previous councils. I would, however, like to see some audits, some public audits, and some transparency when it comes to certain areas, particularly some of those problem areas that we have. The one that comes to mind immediately is Water and Light Department. It is a huge department. Rather than spend $1 million or $1 million plus on a performance audit, which would no doubt benefit us from some of the suggestions made, some of the departments are working very well and would be unnecessary and redundant. I do think we need to spend some time with the Water and Light budget. Perhaps we could take a look at finance as well, but we're spending a great deal of taxpayer money. We want to make sure we spend it wisely. I think that approach would at least get us in the right direction, and maybe if we find that it's necessary or prudent, we could even proceed and expand this whole thing. But I reserve the right to change my mind, of course, depending on how the conversation goes. But at this point, I would be more inclined to support an audit, performance audit, from the perspective of a more limited one rather than across the board. And perhaps with as much as a 3-year time frame, I think that might be an issue that's problematic. So just so you know my position.
Yeah, I'll share my position on the same issue. While I've been skeptical of some of the claims that have been made in the community about the pooled cash account in particular, one specific thing really concerns me about the history of the pooled cash account, namely the fact that its balance has tripled over the last 25 years or so, during a time over which the city budget and the city's population has only increased about 50%. And if we do have an audit, and I do support some sort of form of audit, I'd like to understand why that is the case. And I asked the previous finance director and didn't get an explanation. And I've asked several other people. I don't know if anybody knows the answer to that, but it's curious to me. It seems to me these things should approximately increase in step with each other, unless there's something sort of unsustainable going on.
Mr. Pitzer?
Yeah, I think that some of what we've discussed in terms of an outside audit, you know, some of those are skills that I think we would want to look for in a new city manager, and we could search for somebody who has a demonstrated track record of reviewing past performances and making organizational improvements. And I also think we should be mindful of what candidates we might attract if they know they're walking into a situation where they're going to have a 3-year oversight into everything they do. And I think we need a strong management. This is something we can discuss more, obviously. But I'm fully advocating for a strong oversight and management executive in that role. But we just need to be careful about how we're setting them up, whoever walks into that position.
My understanding also is that we just finished this last fiscal year as of the end of September. And so we are actually having the books audited, which is the standard auditing. I believe that happens every year. I'm not really in favor of a three-year audit unless we're going to, drag our feet about a city manager for 3 years. I might be agreeable to the water and light. I don't mind looking at some of it, but this expectation that there's something afoul in our finances with the city, I think, is incorrect. And I'm not willing to spend $750,000 or more in 3 years.
And that's not my expectation. However, this council has unanimously passed a transparency policy. We have asked for a public records portal. We have now an open checkbook portal, none of which came without a lot of resistance. You compound that with vacancies in the finance department, the city treasurer's office, and the internal auditor position, all of which adds up to the symptoms and ingredients that would trigger in any other private sector, any other not-for-profit, this type of audit. And it's not unusual when you have a change of leadership to have a clear delineation of prior practices with the future. I just think it's a good business practice. Further discussion?
Mr. Scott? I agree with you, but my inclination is to go on at least a step-by-step and incremental process on some sort of limited basis. And there isn't a lot of precedent for this. There is when you change administrations and so on to take a review and so on. But we will have that discussion. I think it'll be a thorough one. And I'm rather, may I add, rather proud of everyone here on the dais for contributing to this matter and all of these other matters. It's one of the most thoughtful groups of people that I've ever served with, and I appreciate all of you.
Great. Is there any other business the council would wish to discuss? Seeing none, I move that we adjourn. I'm going to ask Steve Sapp to swing this podium around, and we'll join you down there and answer whatever questions we can within the direction that legal counsel gives us.